Title: Balance Jungle Switch Up with Minimal CPU Load in Ableton Live 12 Advanced. Alright, let's build a jungle and drum and bass bass line switch up that actually hits harder, without your Ableton session turning into a crackling slideshow. The big idea for this lesson is simple, but it's advanced in how you execute it. You're going to keep one stable, trustworthy sub the entire time, and you'll let the mid-bass be the part that switches up in rhythm, tone, and movement. And instead of stacking a bunch of synths and heavy processing chains, you'll build one mid-bass performance rack, automate it like an instrument, and then commit to audio early with resampling, freezing, and deactivating. By the end, you'll have three things: a dedicated SUB track that never changes character, AMID bass track that can become multiple identities through macros and clip automation, and a resampler print track with audio versions of your A and B bass phrases, so CPU load stays low and your arrangement stays fast. Let's set this up the way a finished, professional session wants it. Step 0, CPU hygiene. Do this first. Set your tempo somewhere in that classic range, like 170 BPM. Anywhere from 165 to 174 is fine, but pick one and commit for now. Then go to preferences and set your buffer size to something realistic for production. If you're writing and arranging, 256 to 512 samples is a sweet spot. Only go lower if you're actively recording and you really need low latency. Also, reduced latency when monitoring. Only enable it if you're tracking live. If you're not tracking, leave it off. It's one of those settings that can make things feel weird for no benefit. And a couple of habits that matter a lot in Live 12. Keep oversampling options modest while you're writing. Oversampling is great, but it's a finishing move, not a writing tool. And deactivate anything you're not using. Not mute. Deactivate. If it's not part of the sound right now, turn it off so your CPU can breathe. Now we build the foundation, the sub. Step 1. Make a rock-solid SUB track, separate from everything else. Create a new MIDI track and name it SUB. This track is supposed to be boring in the best way. It's the anchor. It's the reason the drop still feels heavy when you do a crazy mid-switch up. Put operator on it. Oscillator A is a sine wave. Keep it clean. Set the level around -6 dB. We're not trying to win loudness right now. We're building headroom so the mix stays stable. Shape the envelope. Attack at 0 milliseconds. For decay, try around 200 milliseconds if you like plucky notes, or keep sustain up a bit if you want held notes. Release around 50 to 120 milliseconds so you don't get clicks, especially when notes change. Then add EQ8. And here's the rule. Do not high pass your sub. If you're used to cleaning everything with a high pass out of habit, this is where you don't do that. If it's muddy, do a tiny dip, like 1 to 3 dB, around 200 to 300 Hz. That's it. Add saturator next. Drive maybe 2 to 5 dB, soft clip on. Then pull the output down so you're not fooling yourself with loudness. The point is translation, so the sub has a little presence on smaller speakers, not a bunch of extra volume. Finally, utility. Make it mono, width at 0, or use bass mono if you like that workflow. Set the gain so your sub is peaking around -10 to -6 dB before it hits the master. That seems quiet, but it's exactly what keeps your bass bus from becoming a mess later. Teacher note here, your sub should not be the thing that switches up. If the sub changes, your perceived weight changes, and on a real system you can get phase weirdness that makes the drop feel like it vanished. Keep the sub consistent. Let the mids do the talking. Now the fun part. Step 2. Build the MID bass switch up engine. One track, multiple characters. Create another MIDI track and name it MID bass. We're going to go low CPU on purpose, so start with operator for the mid as well. People sleep on it, but operator can get nasty in a really controllable way. Set oscillator A to saw. Oscillator B also to saw, and to tune it just a tiny bit, like +7 cents. Keep B lower in level than A. Already you've got motion, without needing unison or a heavy synth. Turn operator's filter on. Use LP24. Set frequency somewhere between maybe 300 Hz and 1.5 kHz as a starting point. Don't obsess yet, because we're going to map it. Add auto filter after operator. Pick a character mode like MS2 or PRD so it has some flavor. Use a little envelope amount, like 5 to 15%, just enough that the notes have articulation. Then saturator. Here you can push harder. Drive in the 5 to 12 dB range, soft clip on. Add in. Match output so you're judging tone, not loudness. Then add amp for bite. Clean or rock are great. Keep gain reasonable, because we're going to give ourselves a macro later and you want a safe range. Add cabinet after that. A 4x12 or 2x12 can give that aggressive mid-focus. Keep dry slash wet around 20 to 50% so you're not turning the whole thing into a fake guitar. You're just borrowing the mid character. Then AQ8. High pass it around 80 to 120 Hz. This is important. You're making space for the sub track. If your mid has too much 80 to 150, it'll fight the sub and your low end will feel smaller, not bigger. Also, watch harshness around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz and notch a little if needed. Then glue compressor, very light. Attack 10 milliseconds, release auto ratio 2:1. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction max. This is just to knit the chain together. Now select that whole chain and group it into an audio effect rack. Name it mid switch rack. This is your control panel. This is how you get multiple basses without actually having multiple basses running at once. Create 5 macros. Macro 1. Tone. Map it to operator filter frequency and auto filter frequency. Keep the mapping ranges musical. You want it to open and close like a performance move, not jump from sub B to mosquito instantly. Macro 2. Drive. Map it to saturator drive and amp gain, but keep the ranges small. Think a few dB of movement, not destroy the mix. Macro 3. Hollow. Map this to filter resonance and maybe a gentle EQ dip around 400 Hz. Hollow is basically how you carve that boxy center out so the bass feels wider and more aggressive. Macro 4. Movement. Map it to auto filter LFO amount and rate, or if you prefer, operator's LFO to filter or pitch. This becomes your wobble control, your pulse control, your animation knob. Macro 5. Air cut. Map it to an EQ high shelf turning down, so you can darken the bass instantly if it's fighting cymbals or the break. And here's the mindset shift. You're not designing a sound. You're designing a playable system with safe, mix-ready extremes. That's why it stays fast and why it stays CPU light. Step 3. Create the switch up using clip modulation. Not more devices. Write a 16-bar bass line on the MID bass track. Bars 1 through 8. Your main rolling pattern. Think classic two-step relationship with the drums. You can keep it fairly steady. Bars 9 through 16, the switch up rhythm, more syncopation, more rests, maybe a little triplet push if that's your style. Even before you touch tone, changing rhythm alone can feel like a switch, which is great because rhythm is free, no CPU required. Now click the MIDI clip, go into clip view, and open clip envelopes. Choose the rack macro and start with macro 1, tone. Draw automation so the tone opens up in bars 9 through 16, not necessarily fully open the entire time. A really classic move is open into the switch, then pulse a bit, then maybe close down for the turnaround. Do the same with movement. Increase LFO amount or speed in the switch up bars so it feels like a changed gear, and then drive. Do a small ramp up into the switch. Small. If you double the distortion, you also multiply harsh frequencies and you'll end up eking for an hour. The trick is to do just enough so the listener feels intensity, but your mix stays stable. Quick coach note, when you compare the A section and the B section, level match them before you decide which is better. Louder always sounds better, and that's a trap. Use clip gain or utility at the end of the printed track later to get them within about half a dB of each other. Now we do the Reval CPU cheat code. Step 4. Resample and print the mid-bass switch-ups to audio. Once your MID rack is hitting, commit. Jungle and D&B are built on decisive edits. Audio is your friend. Create a new audio track called MID Print. Set its audio from to MID Bass, and choose Post FX. R MID Print. Record 8 bars of your main A identity, then record 8 bars of your B switch-up identity. If you want, do them separately so you can label them cleanly. Then consolidate each recorded region and name them something obvious, like MID A170 Reese and MID B170 Wobble. Now freeze the MID bass track, or, if you're confident and you want maximum CPU savings, deactivate the entire rack or the whole track. This is where your session becomes fun again, because now you're arranging audio, not babysitting CPU. Extra safety tip, freezing isn't just for CPU, it's also protection. Once a bass is approved, freeze it so you don't accidentally bump a macro later and ruin your mix without noticing. If you need changes, duplicate the track, unfreeze the duplicate, and keep the frozen one as a reference. Step 5. Make the switch-up feel jungle in the arrangement, not just the sound. Here are 3 switch-up vibes you can create with the exact same rig. First, classic jungle into tech roll, an 8-bar change. In the first 8, let the Reese hold more and keep the rhythm simple. In the next 8, tighten it up. More 8-note gating, brighter tone, a little more distortion. And here's the key, at tiny gaps before snares. Even 5 to 30 milliseconds of negative space right before a hit can make the drums punch way harder, and it costs nothing. Second, the halftime illusion, but only for two bars. Keep the drums rolling, but simplify the bass rhythm so it feels like it's slowed down. Long note on beat 1, short stabs around beat 3. Darken tone, increase hollow a bit, and it'll feel like the room got bigger. Third, call and response, which is pure jungle personality. Make a short phrase for two bars, then answer it for the next two bars. Repeat, but change the automation slightly. Even better, because you printed audio, you can literally rearrange and be like you're chopping breaks. Now let's keep it clean and loud without wrecking the low end. Step 6, routing and peak control. Group your SUB and your MID print, or SUB and MID bass if you haven't printed yet, into a group called bass bus. On the bass bus, add EQ8 for gentle shaping. If something is fighting your snare or the body of your break, you can do a small dip. Often that's somewhere around 180 to 220 HE, or sometimes in the 1 to 2K HE area depending on the break. Don't guess forever. Make a small move and listen in context. Then glue compressor, light. Attack 30 milliseconds, release auto ratio 2:1, 1 to 2 dB of reduction. You're not trying to flatten it, you're trying to make it feel like one unit.